they're for the dads. All right, so enjoy when we close the service today. You can take one of those. Before I dismiss kids, I was thinking about one of the songs we sang, It Is for Freedom That I Have Been Set Free. And for some reason, that song's just been kind of, I've been whistling that and humming it all week, and then here we are singing it this morning. And it brought me to Galatians chapter 5. And let me just highlight a few verses. Verse 1 says, It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Okay? And then a little bit later, in verse 13, it says, You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Okay, that's always the temptation. I'm free, you know, but don't use it to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Okay? The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then it says in verse 16, So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Sometimes when we struggle with sinful tendencies, we just try to say no over and over, and we should say no. But I want to encourage you to not only say no to the sinful nature, but say yes to the godly direction. Do you get that? Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the sinful nature. So do something positive instead of that sinful tendency. And then, of course, verse 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Spirit wants to work that in us, and He's given us freedom in Christ to just develop all this good stuff if we'll simply follow Him. And so here I say again, just press on in. You know, I mentioned it about the joy of the Lord, but also the freedom of the Spirit. Just press on in. It's good stuff. All right? All right, time for kids' church. That's age 3 through grade 4. Head out the back doors, have fun, and be good. Ken, I just want to point out that I'm actually preaching today. inside joke, but I couldn't resist. Hey, we're talking about Dad's Day today. And so can we start off with just some fun? Do I have your permission to just have a little fun here for a little bit? When a man says it's a guy thing, he means there is no rational thought pattern connected with this, and you have no chance at all of making it logical. Let me get my glasses out. These are a little fine print here. Getting older is for the birds. When your father says it would take too long to explain, he means, I have no idea how it works. When he says, you know how bad my memory is, he means, I can remember the Oscar Mayer Wiener song, the web addresses of all my favorite sites, and the size of wrench that fits every nut and bolt on my truck. But I forgot your birthday. When a man says, oh, don't fuss, I just cut myself, it's no big deal, he means, I have actually severed a limb. But I will bleed to death before I admit I'm hurt. When he says, I can't find it, he means it didn't fall into my outstretched hand. So I'm completely clueless. When your dad says, I'm not lost, I know exactly where we are, he means no one will ever see us alive again. Hey, there's more. I'm happy to be a guy. Happy to be a guy. Phone conversations are over in 30 seconds flat. Ha Happy to be a guy. We know stuff about tanks. A 5-day vacation requires only one suitcase. Gray hair and wrinkles only add character. Here you go. Happy to be a guy. Wedding dress, $2,000. Tuxedo rental, $75. If a guy shows up at a party in the same outfit, you just might become lifelong friends. Happy to be a guy, you're not expected to know the names of more than 5 colors. You don't have to stop and think about which way to turn a nut on a bolt. You are unable to see wrinkles in your clothes. The same hairstyle lasts for years, maybe decades. Christmas shopping can be done for 25 relatives on December 24th in 45 minutes. Happy to be a guy? Childbirth. Enough said. I'm not done yet. I got another one. A Father's Day top 10. This was contributed by a guy named Donald Smith, and he says, you've been itching to say for years now. And we often hear the rules from the feminine side, so we're going to hear the guy side. It's only fair, realizing, of course, that we can only get away with it today on Father's Day. Number 10, whenever possible, please say whatever you have to say during the commercials. Number 9, shopping is not a sport, and we're never going to think of it that way. Number 8, Sunday equals sports. It's like the full moon or the changing of tides. Just let it be. Number 7, yes and no are perfectly acceptable answers to almost every question. Number 6, check your oil. Please check your oil. Number 5, anything we said 6 months ago is inadmissible in an argument. In fact, all past comments become null and void after 7 days. Number 4, if something we said can be interpreted 2 ways and one of them makes you sad or angry, we meant the other one. Number 3, if we ask what is wrong and you say nothing, we will act like nothing is wrong. We know you are lying, but it just isn't worth the hassle. Number 2, all men see in only 16 colors, like the computer's old default settings. Peach, for example, is a fruit, not a color. Pumpkin is also a fruit. And we have no idea what mauve is. Moth. And number 1, rules for men. Christopher Columbus did not need directions, and neither do we. Oh, those are fun. Huh. Well, now if I could get a little more serious, let's talk about the Bible, okay? Father's Day. The word father is mentioned more than 1,600 times in the Bible. More than 1,600 times. That's more than praise, prayer, and worship all combined. So the concept of fatherhood must be pretty important to God to make sure it was included in the Bible that many times. I believe being a Christian father is one of the highest callings a man can achieve. Exodus 20, verse 12 says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. It's right for us to do that. And I just have 2 simple points this morning about dads. The first one is this: dads have influence. Dads have influence. In Reader's Digest, there was an article that talked about dad, and it said, He's a mess maker, rule breaker, risk taker. In general, he's the opposite of mom, the master nurturer, creator of law and order. But for all his mischief, dad is doing something quite right. The same daddy-like interactions that sometimes annoy moms will significantly contribute to children's social skills and success in school. Moms and dads are indeed different, but their distinctive styles of caretaking complement each other perfectly to the advantage of children. Dads have influence. In the Bible, the father is called the head of his household. And in 1 Timothy 3:12, he is urged to manage his children and his household in a respectable manner. So the father is charged with the responsibility of looking after the best interests of his family, financially, spiritually, and socially. That's what God has called dads to do. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, it talks about how a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging to live life worthy of God. Dads have influence, but when they encourage their kids, when they cheer them on, and when they comfort them in their times of trouble, and even sometimes, you know, dad sometimes is kind of the guy that he pushes you a little bit to, you know, step up. Have you ever heard that from your dad? Step up a little bit. You know, you can do a little bit better. The urging, even, that's a positive thing that God calls dads to do. They have influence. Proverbs 13:24 says, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him." Yep, I know that's kind of a negative nowadays, but dads are called to discipline. And that's a godly characteristic of influence. And Brad Froese says a dad has to discipline because he wants the best for his children. Children raised in the discipline of a strong and loving father have greater discipline as adults. And disciplined adults make greater contributors to society. I want to say this. Kids need to see a godly portrait in their fathers. Because dads have influence. Now, let me flip this upside down just for a minute and show you what the absence of a dad can do. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state institutions are from fatherless homes. 70% of teen pregnancies are from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists are from fatherless homes. 85% of children exhibiting behavior disorders are from fatherless homes. And 85% of youths in prison are from fatherless homes. You see, dads have influence. Lucille Ball. She's known as a great comedian, but shortly before her death, she did this remarkable TV interview with Merv Griffin, and he asked her a very serious and pointed question. "Lucille, you've lived a long time on this earth, and you are a wise person. What's happened to our country? What's wrong with our children? Why are families falling apart? What's missing?" And Lucille Ball answered without hesitation, "Papa's missing. Things are falling apart because Papa's gone. If Papa were here, he would fix it." You see, dads have influence. Dads have influence. Leadership Magazine reported a study that affirms the importance of both parents attending church. Just a simple matter of coming to church when the doors are open. If only mom attends regularly, 15% of children will remain faithful in attendance at church when they become adults. If only dad attends regularly, it's 55% will remain faithful. But if neither attends regularly, only 6% of those kids will grow up and continue going to church. But if both mom and dad attend church regularly, it goes all the way up to 72% of their children will remain faithful in church attendance when they become adults. You see the influence? dads actually do have influence, whether it's obvious or not. And dads, we need to use our influence positively. And there's no greater influence than the legacy a father leaves concerning eternity and salvation. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Dads, I mentioned earlier how dads have influence by encouraging and comforting and even urging, that kind of pushing that dads do sometimes. But dads, I say this, don't push so hard that it drives your kids to exasperation, to a point where they just want to give up and they don't want anything to do with you. You know, nudge them, but don't shove them. Can I put it that way? Instead, use your influence to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Dad, use your influence in a positive manner. It's been said, a boy loves his mother, but he will follow his father. Pretty true. Dads have influence. And number two, dads need honor and respect. One time a little boy was asked to define Father's Day, and he said, it's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much on the present. That might be true, but dads still need honor and respect. Honor means to regard highly and to treat with courtesy. Treat your dad with courtesy and regard him highly. The Hebrew word for honor means literally to make heavy. Now, some of you right away say, well, I don't need any help with that. I got the heavy thing going on already. But that's obviously not what it means. The idea is don't take your parents lightly. Show them honor and respect. And Ephesians 5:33 comes right out. And ladies, those of you who are married, I can't get away from it. It says the wife must respect her husband. Black and white, gospel truth. The wife must respect her husband. Respect means to have a profound reverence, even carries with the idea of to be in awe of. Respect your husband. James Howell says, respect a man and he will do even more. And I like to say there's nothing that motivates a man like his own cheering section. You encourage a man and pat him on the back when he does something good. Guess what? He just wants to do that again. He likes that pat on the back. You see, men need to feel significant. It's just the way we're built. We need to feel significant. And some jokingly comment about men, you get extra credit for even the slightest act of thoughtfulness. Well, it goes to a man's greatest need. We need to feel important. Just as certain as most wives need to hear loving words from their husbands, husbands need to hear encouraging, respectful words from their wives. Am I right, men? Okay. Here, let me put it even real plain and simple. Nagging and criticizing will only discourage men. It's the way it is. What we really need is positive reinforcement. Okay, we're a little bit like Pavlov's dog. Okay? Put out the food, blow the whistle. I eat the food. I associate the whistle with the food. Okay, positive reinforcement. And men need it. And it's not just about a fragile ego that needs constant bolstering. Now, it might be true that men tend to have fragile egos. But men really do, dads really do, deserve honor and respect. Think about a dad's obligations. Now, dad might not have these down perfectly, but biblically, he is the head of the home. He's the principal provider and the primary protector. Those are heavy responsibilities. He's responsible for godly instruction and training. Now, it may be true in a lot of households that mom is the primary one who does that, practically speaking, is the one that raises the kids in godly instruction and training. But when we stand before God, God's going to ask the dad whether the kids were raised in godly instruction and training. So you get, even though mom might do that a lot, dad is the one that's held responsible for it. That's a heavy responsibility. Typically, dad is the final disciplinarian in most homes. And ultimately, God, or dad, is the representative of God to his kids. Let me put it this way. Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." So when we pray, "Our Father," guess what happens? There's a little bit of influence of our own dad that comes into that picture that influences how we think about God. If God is the Father, my dad is kind of the first image I have of what God must be like. You understand? So that is a heavy-duty responsibility that dads have. My kids think about God in light of how they think of me. I don't want to mess that up. Heavy responsibility. Phillips Kring and Dean sing a song and it says, "Lord, I want to be just like you," because he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. "Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. I want to be just like you, because he wants to be like me." I mean, how often do little boys say, "When I grow up, I want to be just like my dad"? Yeah, it's pretty common when they're younger. These are all significant charges that a father must carry, and they need to be respected and honored for their contributions. Again, dads don't always get it right. I didn't, by no stretch of the imagination, did I always get it right. But nonetheless, it's important obligations and responsibilities that God puts on dad. And dad should be honored and respected for those things. Here's another real practical way to do that. Proverbs 4:1. "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding." Listen and pay attention. Reminds me of Foghorn Leghorn. I say, "Boy, pay attention, boy. Hey, boy, pay attention. Look at me when I'm talking to you, son." Foghorn Leghorn. Pay attention. Listen. That's one way you show respect to a father. Now, I did not know my dad was going to be here this morning. I'm going to go ahead with this next portion anyway and try to get through it. I am thankful for a dad who provided even when it was difficult, who was always involved in church, who loved my mom, who, believe it or not, spanked me when I deserved it. But he also tickled and wrestled with me. I remember him praying often on Saturday mornings. My dad made me go to church and youth group. I'm thankful that my dad apologized when he was wrong. He advised me when I wasn't sure. He followed God's call. My dad urged me to broaden my shoulders when things were unfair. My dad still advises me today when I need help. And believe it or not, sometimes he asks me for advice. My dad always honored his parents. He taught me to think for myself. He interested me in studying the scriptures. He told me he loved me. My dad has always been and still is a godly man. I'm thankful for my dad. And Irma Bombeck wrote an article about fathers. She says, "When the Lord was creating fathers, he started with a tall frame. An angel standing nearby said, 'What kind of father is that? If you're going to make children so close to the ground, why have you put fathers up so high?' He won't be able to shoot marbles without kneeling. He won't be able to tuck a child into bed without bending. He won't even be able to kiss a child without stooping. God smiled and said, "Yes, but if I make him child size, who will the children have to look up to?" And when God made the father's hands, they were large. The angel shook his head and said, "I don't think you want to make hands like that. Large hands are clumsy. They can't manage diaper pins or small buttons or rubber bands on ponytails or even remove splinters caused by baseball bats." God smiled again and said, "I know, but they're large enough to hold everything a small boy empties from his pockets at the end of the day, yet small enough to cup a child's face in his hands." Then God molded long, slim legs and broad shoulders. The angel nearly had a heart attack. "Boy, this is the end of the week, all right," he said. "How's he going to pull a child close to him without the kid falling between his legs?" God smiled and said, "A mother needs a lap, but a father needs strong shoulders to pull a sled, balance a boy on a bicycle, or hold a sleepy head on the way home from the circus." God was in the middle of creating two of the largest feet anyone had ever seen. When the angel could not be contained any longer, "That's not fair," he said. "Do you honestly think that those large boats are going to get out of bed early in the morning when the baby cries? Or walk through a small birthday party without crushing at least three of the guests?" Again, God smiled and he said, "They'll work, you'll see. They'll scare off mice at a summer cabin, or leave footprints that will be a challenge to follow." God worked throughout the night, giving the Father few words, but a firm voice and eyes that saw everything. Finally, almost as an afterthought, he added tears. Then he turned to the angel and said, "Now are you satisfied that he can love as much as the mother?" And the angel was silent. Moms and dads are different. They're both very important. And dads have influence. And dads need honor and respect. Really do. So let's encourage our dads, especially on this Dad's Day, but I would say all throughout the year. Encourage your dad. Show him honor and respect. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for godly examples of men of God who represent you well. And Lord, for the dads in the room here today, I pray that you'd help us to be good, godly representatives. That when our kids look at us, they see a pretty good idea of what God must be like. Help us, Lord, not to misrepresent you or to put a bad light on what you are like, but help us to be good, godly fathers. And Lord, for everybody in the room, help us to show honor and respect to our dads. Recognize the influence they have and the obligations and responsibilities that you have established for them, and that we should show them honor and respect. Help us, God, to do that. Let your grace abound and guide us in your ways, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before you go today, I'd like to have all the men, not just dads, but all the men, 18 and over, please join me on the platform. I have a couple more thoughts just for the guys. 18 and over. The rest of you, you're free to go. We'll only be a couple minutes.